Praise God again. Trust that you are well. The Lord is keeping, watching over your life and sustaining you. And you know, we carry on with our study of God's Word, and we are in Colossians chapter 3. And one of the things that we started looking at yesterday is how we are to set our affections, set our minds on things above and not on things on the earth. And the foundation for that is that we died. Our old man died, you know, and its passions, its evil desires, they were crucified, they died, and we have a new life. And the real life that we have is the life in Christ. You see, when you look at a man who is born again, you might see the outer man. You might see the weakness in his body. You might see the sickness in his body. But that does not mean his inner man is like that. There is no lame man in heaven. There is no blind man in heaven. And the real man is the real person in you in Christ. Now, it does not mean that the outer man is not important. The outer man is equally important, because what you do in the body has the capacity to contaminate your spirit. Because both your actions, the fruit that you produce, must go hand in hand with the evidence of the spirit that you have received. You know, you'd find the challenge that was there with the Gnostics and the philosophers of the time of Colossae is that they will emphasize so much on the spirit, and they will argue that Christ was not just a human being, he was just a spirit. But you see, when the emphasis is too much on the spirit, then you find that you have imbalanced people. You find people who are living according to the flesh and expecting that they are still going to go to heaven. You see, the Bible is very clear. Let no one deceive you. The sexually immoral, the impure, the corrupt, all those dogs and everyone that commits sin will not go to heaven. Let no one deceive you. That is a firm and established position by the scriptures, that God expects each and every one of us that have professed Christ to live as Christ. And this is one of the things that Paul cries out, that he says that I want to share and preach until Christ is formed in you. He says, my dear children, of whom I labor again as in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. Now that means that he is going to labor. He wants to labor, and he is going to labor. And his passion is that Christ that you have received, the character, the behavior, the mindset, the spirit of Christ, to be fully developed in you, the believer, that you reflect Christ both on the inside and on the outside. And that is why Paul is very keen to remind them that, look here, when Christ, who is our real life, appears, then you shall appear him with glory. But then you on the earth, your spirit, yes, is seated in heaven, in heavenly places with Christ at the right hand of the Father. But you need to set your affections, to set your mind on things above. Look up to God where he is. Look unto him. What is God doing? What has God said? What is God in action? What are the things that drive God? What are our passions? Where is our hunger? What is it that we hunger for that is not God? Anything that we hunger for that is not God is not good, because God is good. Now, apart from setting your mind, your affections on things above, you're also supposed to put your members that are on the earth to death. That is, mortify the deeds of the flesh. That means you cannot just live in casual living. You know, where he says your members that are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Look at some of these aspects of the evil nature and the sinful nature that are spoken about. Fornication, this is sexual immorality. Uncleanness. Uncleanness is where it goes even beyond sexual immorality to now perversion, where it's just a dirty mind, you know, and dirty actions. And then you can think of that passion, where you cannot control yourself. There are evil passions, and there are people who evil desires. And then look at it, covetousness. What is covetousness? Covetousness is desiring that which is that wicked desire over someone else's property. And the Bible says, which is idolatry. When you find someone is overly attached, overly desiring something that is not his, then that person is getting to that point where they worship that thing. And God says, this is idolatry. And what is the end result of, you know, of this sinful nature is that it is death, and it is the wrath of God. The wrath of God, it says that because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. And it says, but now there is a difference. Now there is a time when you lived like this. There's a time when you lived in sin, but now you have a new man. And he says, now you yourselves are to put off all this anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. You know, these are things that now you yourselves are to put out. You know, you still have that choice. And one of the things with the Holy Spirit is that he does not impose himself on anyone. He will never impose on anyone. But he gives us the choice. He gives us the, you know, the ability to decide what to do on our own. But he will show us the right way. He will make suggestions for us. He will show us what to do and what not to do. And now we are being told we have the responsibility. And this is the aspect of the new man. The new man in Christ has the power over sin. The old man, the man in sin, has no power over sin or over the devil. The devil takes them captive to do his will. But the new man has power over sin. That means sin no longer has dominion over you. The sinful nature that was stripped off by Christ no longer has dominion over you. It was spiritually circumcised. The circumcision not done by human hands, but done by Christ. And he says, now put off this. You can think of it this, when it says put off, it's like these are garments. You can think about it. It's like you put on a cloth, a garment of anger, of wrath, of malice, of blasphemy, of filthy language. And he says, now put off all this. That means in the spirit, all these things are garments. They are garments of anger. And you can find these are just people who are just full of anger, full of wrath. Anything, any small trigger, they are on your neck. They will be abusing you. It's like they were just waiting for an opportunity to spill forth, you know, filthiness. And he says, look at that filthy language out of your mouth. And this is the place where, you know, there is you're speaking in ways that do not, you know, bring glory to God. This is where you find, you know, there's that communication that you yourself, you know, does not bring glory to God. That even if you were to do it in front of your pastor, in front of your parents, you'd be ashamed. But you see, because, you know, there are people who are also filthy, you find it easy to talk with them, because for them it is not a problem, because they have no nature of Christ that tells them that what they're doing is wrong. You see, some people don't have breaks, but you as a believer, you must have breaks. You must have, you know, that inbuilt nature of Christ that will warn you and that will guide you into knowing what is right and what is wrong. Look at verse 9. It says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Remember, the old man, that old sinful nature, is now being looked at as a garment. You've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. So we now put on, we now clothe ourselves with a new man. We have left, we died to sin, we died to the old man, but now we are raised in Christ, in righteousness, in holiness. We are created, look at what the Bible says, verse 10, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. That means there is something that God does, he renews us in knowledge. And this knowledge is epignosis. This is the complete and accurate knowledge of God, and according to the image of him who created him. That means that it is God who renews us and makes us in his image and likeness, and he makes us according to him. Remember, you're conformed to the image of Christ. It is only when you put on the new man that is made in the image and likeness of Christ, the image and likeness of God, then you are able to overcome all this sin, all this sinful nature and to know that you are knowing God and you're going to be renewed in your knowledge of God. The new man is renewed in the epignosis, in the knowledge of God. The Bible tells us that his divine power has given us all that we need for life and godliness through knowledge of him. It is only your knowledge of God that will determine your access to God. Knowledge brings you access to realms. You know, in the things of God, the difference between believers is just based on what they know about God, what they know about God's covenants, and what they understand about the scriptures. When you understand the scriptures, then it gives you a certain level of revelation, and this revelation will grant you access. And the Bible says the entrance of your word bringeth light and understanding to the simple. That means that when you are brought into light, you cannot walk in darkness. It's just like when you come to the understanding, let's say Psalms 37, where it speaks of, I was young and I'm now old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. Now, when you come to that revelation, you know, that the lions may grow hungry, you know, and the old, you know, and all these young lions, they cry out for food. But you see those that trust in God. Then you come to the place where you have a confidence assurance in the provision of God, that no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, you have a Father that is able to intervene, that is able to make a way, that is able to bring and give you breakthrough in your life, to bring you breakthrough in your thoughts, in your actions, that, Lord, you're going to, you know, to walk in the newness of life. Now, it says, when you understand that you are conformed to the image of Christ, then what becomes clear is that now the differences that we have that are physical disappear. Now, the differences, the distinctions that come, whether we are Greeks or Jews or circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian or slave or free, we know all those are not existing, but Christ is all and in all. That means that our foundation, our inner man, our new life becomes of Christ. And not only becomes us of Christ, but we also come to the understanding that Christ is in every man that has come to the knowledge of God. When every man understands that the Christ in every man, then it leads us to honor every man. It leads us to serve. It leads us to be partakers of the same, that indeed we partake of the same grace that is in others. Why? Because the Christ in each and every person then will manifest a unique wisdom of that person. Not one person is complete in everything. In fact, it's the entire body of Christ, all believers all over the world with their different gifts, with their different perspectives, with their different approaches to life, all these form one body of Christ. And that's why the Bible says that there is no division, but Christ is all and in all. You know, at times some people will not understand what is it, the prophetic, or will not understand the apostolic or the evangelistic. You know, it may not be easy to understand all this, but you see, all these are representations. They are the parts of the manifold wisdom of God. God in his wisdom is able to reveal truth, is able to show his wonders to us. He's able to make us complete, and we are complete in him. So when we come to that understanding, now he can call us the elect of God. And this is verse 12. The Bible says, Colossians 3 verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. You know, what is the meaning of elect? Elect is those that are chosen, those that are set apart, those that God has called out, that these are my own. Now it says, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. That means now these are the things you are to clothe yourself. These are the things that now are supposed to be seen in your garment. This is now supposed to be your nature, your nature as a new man. Put on tender mercies. A garment of tender mercies. That means you are concerned for people. You have a mercy for people. Look at number two, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Now, there is a nature of the new man. There is a nature of the elect. There is a nature of those that are holy and beloved of God. It is very clear. It is the nature of God. We must manifest. We must show our tender mercies. We must be kind to one another. We must show the humility of Christ. We must, you know, walk in meekness, walk in, you know, in humility, in kindness to others. We must, you know, have long suffering for one another. That means there is that place where we are, you know, comforting one another, where we look at one another and are concerned for each and every one of us. Our hearts must be in the place where we encourage one another, where we trust in God, and we are living lives that bring glory to Him. And, you know, and look at how He says that, bearing with one another. You know, long suffering is where you suffer, or where you are patient with someone that is, you know, does not deserve mercy, but you suffer along with them in the hope that God will touch them along the way. Now it says, how do we bear with one another? We bear with one another by carrying each other's burdens. The elect of God, the new man, this is the character of the new man, that we must bear with one another. And what do? We also forgive one another as Christ forgave us. And he says, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. One of the biggest and hardest things that we often have to do is always about forgiveness. Unless we come to that place where we recognize that Christ also forgave us of grievous things, it's very hard to forgive people. And many times we find we blame people, we blame ministers, we blame those leaders and all that they have done, yet that we don't understand that it is human to error. And likewise, just as Christ forgave us, then we also should extend the same forgiveness to others. And look at this, where it says, and it is not even like a choice, it says, so you also must do. Verse 14. But above all this, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So love is the one that binds everything. You want to be perfect. You want to understand how the new man works. You want to walk in comfort, in encouragement, not in malice, not in anger, not in fits of rage. Then you must understand that love is the bond of perfection. And it says, put on love, put on the garment of love, which is the bond of perfection. And beyond this, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. So there are things that now you allow. What do you allow? You've put on some things, then what are the things you allow? You allow the peace of God. Many people are living outside of the peace of God. They are thinking it's their effort. It is how fast, you know, the kind of job that you have, how fast you get another one. You know, all these things, the arguments fall on the place of, you know, human capacity and all that. But you see, there is a peace that comes from God that if we allow to rule in our hearts, then we will understand that we are called in one body and there is a place for thanksgiving. The new man must be one that is always full of thanksgiving. You're living in the peace of God. As you reflect on what God has done in your life, then you live in thanksgiving. And then the Bible says, let the word of Christ, that message that you have heard, that preaching that you've understood, that voice of the Holy Spirit, let it dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing you one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then he says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to the God the Father through him. So there is a way that the word of Christ dwells in us. How does the word of Christ, how do we remind ourselves of who Christ is? The Bible says is by let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So the wisdom of Christ in all teaching, in all, admonishing one another. How can we encourage one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you know? And, you know, this is where we make melody in our hearts. This is how the word of Christ dwells in us. And anyone that has a healthy spirit will always be having a song in their hearts, a song in their lips. They'll be humming to the Lord, because one of the things that we've learned as we worship, as we sing spiritual songs, not only does the word of Christ dwell richly in our hearts, but we are also filled with the Spirit. Remember Ephesians 5, this is where we are being filled with the Holy Spirit as we worship Him, as we listen to Him, as we meditate on His word. And there is a command, and whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. There is a foundation by which we do all things, and this is the place where you understand that everything that you do must be a ministry unto God, and is a ministry to God, because God receives of your labor. And He says, whatsoever you do, if you have the mindset that you're doing it to the Lord, then the Lord Himself will be able to intervene, to rescue, and to be with you. I pray that this word shall take root in our hearts, and that we shall put off the old man and then put on the new man that is created to be like Christ. The nature of Christ, the character of Christ, the behaviors of Christ, all these things are critical to fulfilling a Christian life, to fulfilling a life of order in Christ, the praise and honor of the name of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We give you glory. We honor your holy name. We thank you for your loving kindness, your power, your presence, O God. You have kept us. You've watched over our lives. You've been our shield. You've been our portion. You've been our all in all. Pray for your divine power, for your divine protection, for your divine cover over everything that we are. We trust in your promises that are yes and amen. May you continue to watch over us, to protect us, to keep us, to sustain us, forgive us where we have failed you in one way or another. Show your mercy, God. Indeed, be with us in each and every moment of our lives. We trust in your promises that are yes and amen. You keep us, you watch over us, you sustain us. Blessed Redeemer, touch your people. We pray against sickness, pray against lack. We pray for your guidance, for your provision, for your favor in all these things. May your name be praised and be worshipped. We honor you and we adore you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom. Have a blessed, blessed day ahead.